Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for business owners and investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Michael Bowman, an attorney, author, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
All right, welcome everybody. This is Michael Bowman. I'm a partner with the Anderson Business Advisors. I've been getting a lot of questions. Anderson's been getting a lot of questions from our clients saying, hey, how do we go ahead and prepare ourselves for any investment opportunities? What should we be doing currently for our tenants? How should we be reacting to some of the downturn? And a bunch of other questions regarding real estate investing. I looked in my Rolodex. I guess that kind of dates me. But I looked back and I said, okay, who knows the business inside and out? Who have I seen go through downturns, upturns, and come out on top? And Aaron Adams with Alpine came to my mind. And so I called Aaron and asked him if he would be willing to come in and share some insight with all our clients. And he agreed to. The good thing about Aaron, I've known him over a decade, and he's always been kind of a solid point in my life and also a good friend. And I trust him. And so I'm excited to hear what he has to say and kind of give you guys some insight. So welcome, Aaron Adams.
Thanks, man. If it's loud at all, I got six kids in this house homeschooling. So
perfect. So one of the things when I was going through and looking for resources for our clients, and you came up, I've known that you went through the downturn, the upturn, and I've always been impressed with your mindset. That's one of the big things. I think that's the reason why you're successful. The way you look at things is unique. And so kind of give us some history about yourself, your investing, for those people who don't know you like I do. Kind of give us some background on you.
I started investing in real estate 20 years ago. I rode the California wave from 2000 to 2004. Now, California crashed in 2008, but I left in 2005. And people thought I was crazy when I bounced from California in 2005. Where are you going? I said, you can't get good deals on rentals anymore. I'm going to the Midwest. And Californians were like, "Why are you going to go? Why are you going to the flyover states?"
they probably thought you were crazy. Like, who's out there, and why would you do that?
Yeah.
For sure, if they're not looking at opportunities.
And between 2005 and 2008, we set up operations and started buying in Indianapolis, in Kansas City, and in Dallas. And when the market crashed in 2008, we looked like geniuses because we had been value investing, not speculatively investing, like many Californians did, and all other parts of the country. So those markets, Kansas City, Indianapolis, Dallas, did really well during the last downturn. In fact, the properties that we purchased, the properties we sold to investors, continued to rise in value and continued to perform extremely well. So people have been calling me lately saying, wow, you navigated the last downturn extremely well. What do you see happening right now in real estate? Because as you know, I'm a nerdy guy. I spend 2 to 3 hours a day researching. In fact, just for context, this is probably my favorite website for macroeconomic real estate research. If you're looking to get updates on what's happening, Harvard University has a Center for Housing Studies that I use to it's a starting point to evaluate markets. So I have a slide that even it kind of skips down through the presentation, but
to give you guys some background, the partners at Anderson call Aaron quite a bit and say, hey, give us some stats to look smart, right?
Yeah, that may or may not have happened. Attorney client.
There you go.
So if you see here's five counterintuitive things right now with the current state, because look, no one knows what the stock market's going to do the rest of this year. It could go up, could go down. But no matter what it does, it's going to impact housing. Nobody's going to know what's going to happen with housing itself. For example, I had a property in Indianapolis that I had fixed up to sell to a homeowner. I rejected an offer for $320,000 for it in December. I thought it was a lowball offer. With everything that's been happening, this week I just accepted an offer for $287,000. And so if you're an MLS buyer, if you're a homeowner looking for a home, there's opportunities right now because, I own the house free and clear. I didn't have a mortgage on it, but I don't have confidence that upper middle class, which in Indianapolis, that's an upper middle class house. I don't have confidence that segment of the homeowner market is going to continue to go up through the end of the year. And there's a lot of investors. So maybe you've been home. right now we may have 20% employment, but we have 80% employment. And there's a lot of people, like if you're a general manager of a Walmart, you got job security out the ears right now. You may be looking to upgrade houses. So there will be people buying just like there were the last time. So if you're in the market for a home for you to live in, or if you're in the market for a rental property, there's some great opportunities just sitting on MLS. Whereas a year ago, you couldn't buy anything on the market. So if you look at this slide here, in 2010, only 20% of homes were priced at 300,000 or higher. That's jumped to half. Now, part of that's just appreciation and value. But another part of that is Americans just saying, hey, there's low interest rates. I want to buy as much as I can qualify for. Okay, that's a very real factor with Americans. That creates additional risk. So imagine you're a two-income family right now, and one of you just got laid off, and you bit off a little more than you could chew with that house. That could hurt housing. There's a lot of 20% unemployment, 25% unemployment could equate to an increase in foreclosures, an increase in short sales. So that's a factor that's big. The silver tsunami. I'm sure you've heard of that one, Michael. You got all the silver-haired boomers.
Are you talking about me?
You would be. You're the slightly silver-haired.
Distinguished look.
Distinguished, yeah. You got the Anderson Cooper going.
I keep telling myself is it's distinguished, not great.
So there's 140 million homes in the U.S. A third of them are owned by the boomers. Okay, so that's 46 million homes. Now, obviously, over the next 15 to 25 years, there could be a slow, if the market stays good, there could be a slow liquidation of those homes as they pass away, et cetera. But if the real estate market crashes and or the stock market crashes, let's say there's a stock market crash, you know, there's $23 trillion sitting in retirement accounts. A good percentage of those are in the 50 and older crowd. All of a sudden, they see 10, 20, 30% of their retirement accounts disappear. Many of them will go, all right, if I want to maintain my quality of life, I can't afford to keep this house. I need to sell the home, get the equity so that I have it to supplement what I've just lost in the market. So the silver tsunami could get compressed. We could see a huge flood of homes get put onto the market. And you could see a default rate because there's still quite a bit of mortgages that those seniors have never had as many mortgages as a group, as a demographic as they have right now. That's a risk. With either unemployment or a stock market crash. My brother-in-law works, he's right there in Murray City in Salt Lake near you. Uh-huh. And he's the risk manager for the city. He was telling me the other day that they're freaking out because all of a sudden their tax revenues have just dropped. So with restaurants closed, a lot of people aren't thinking about the cities themselves being tight with cash and losing revenue and not making their budget needs. Yeah, they're talking about federal stimulus dollars going to them. But as a property owner, as a rental property owner, as a homeowner, you could see an increase in property taxes as cities and municipalities and states try to raise money. That's a risk that a lot of people aren't thinking about. There's 8 million landlords that own between 1 to 10 properties. Most of them have mortgages. They're freaking out right now. I mean, if you're a two-income family and one of you gets laid off or both of you get laid off, the first thing you stop paying is the mortgage on that rental. And if that rental goes empty, you walk away from that because you're just trying to circle the wagons and take care of your own house. And on that same vein, there's 9 million second homes in the U.S. Many of those are highly leveraged. And so obviously we all know that if there's 25% unemployment, foreclosures go up. But these are kind of like some secondary tier risks that could exacerbate it and really create kind of what we had in 2008, but worse. Because in 2008... we had too many homes in this country. We were overbuilt by about 4 million homes. And we also had subprime mortgages prior to 2008 that drove that fuel of buying, even though it wasn't backed by population metrics or any real demand.
This is excellent, too, because that's one of the things I constantly see in some of my masterminds and articles I'm reading in real estate. Is that, hey, how is this different? What do we need to look for? How is it different than from 2008 until now? So excellent point here. Love it.
Yeah, that's a big difference. This time around, there's no subprime mortgages. This time around, there's no, we're underbuilt by a couple million homes. In fact, check this number out with it. Here's a graph that shows, this was as of last year. So we were already really short in terms of housing. If you can see the orange line, those are properties under 600 a month rent. The blue is 600 to 1,000. the dark blue is 1,000 and over. But it looks at rental units in millions going back from 07 to 2017. And obviously, when the market crashed, we were good. But if you look at like rental units from 2012, when the recovery started, they've lost 3 million rental units across the country. In the 600 to 1,000 where we work also, they've lost over 1 million units. The only thing that's increased is the 1,000 and over, but we were already short in terms of rental units. You can also see that in vacancy rates. This shows vacancy rates. So you have vacancy rate by percentage, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9%, going back to 2006. And look at where vacancy rates were sitting for that blue collar, middle class segment. Under 5.5%.
Wow.
Under 5%. So we were already short rental units. We see these similar numbers in home ownership. It doesn't matter if it's a rental, if it's home ownership. We don't have enough housing units this time around. Builders haven't been building. Now, if you get a bunch of silver tsunami that flood putting their homes on the market, it's going to impact rental numbers even more because they got to live somewhere. So as a landlord, this downturn could be a phenomenal windfall. Look at rent rates from the last time the market crashed. So you got your U.S. average, you got your U.S. median. Market crashes here in 2008, and rent rates just go steadily up. Okay. Housing prices drop, go through the floor in 2008, 2009. Stock market, people lose 40% of their money the last time. But rents just climbed straight up the last time. And this time around, I think they'll accelerate even quicker because there's two other factors that were not in place in 2008. Wall Street and foreign investment. Yes, there was Chinese people that owned property in the US, but not like they do now. Chinese weren't buying Texas before. Chinese weren't buying Missouri before. They were just like in Seattle, Vegas, Cali, New York. They were on the coast. But Asian money has completely penetrated, just like the Wall Street companies, the big private equity funds. You know, Wall Street owns 10% of the homes in America. I've been getting calls for the last few weeks from all the Wall Street guys saying, hey, once we see a drop in housing, can you get me 500 houses before the end of the year?
Just like before.
Yep. And so there's quite a few factors that are significantly different, but we were already tight to begin with. Inventory, and I see it only getting worse. Now, I put this slide together because this is, you know, I always talk about buckets. So you got your upper middle class wealthy homeowners and renters that live at the top bucket. You got your middle class and blue collar renters and homeowners. And then you have your low income renters, your unemployed welfare Section 8 residents. This bucket, the rich, this bucket never fills in a downturn. If we have 20% unemployment, nobody goes into that bucket. They fall out of that bucket. Who falls out of it? Well, you got your two-income family homeowners or renters. One gets laid off. They end up having to move into middle-class and blue-collar renter neighborhood. Or you have your one-income homeowner or renter. They get laid off, and they find work for less money. Or you have your retiree. They can't afford to keep the home. They need the equity, but they have to drop to a blue-collar retirement. This bucket will fill with additional people, and it'll also keep people in who thought they were going to be moving up before, but for whatever reason, high unemployment or crashing stock markets forces them to stay in this segment. So I saw this the last time in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12. These were who my tenants were because we were in Orlando. We were, you know, we're in six markets right now. And so what you see in a downturn is this bucket stays really full because it's getting filled from the higher group that fall into it. Now, you do get some people that fall out of this bucket, and I've listed them here. College grads who can't find jobs, single income that get laid off, go back to school, or just are collecting unemployment, okay? So there is some filling in this bucket, but nobody fills upwards like they do in an upturn. And so if I own high income rentals right now on apartments, I'm nervous. If I'm a upper middle class real estate agent, I'm freaking out. Airbnb, you know, I have 30 Airbnbs. You know, thank God I own those free and clear right now because we didn't make anything in March. We ain't making anything in April, and we're not making anything in May. And my competitors are freaking out because yeah, they may get some forbearance, but they're still going to owe those mortgage payments. And Airbnb could be a very slow return to profitability, which is one of the reasons why we pumped the brakes and why we didn't buy a lot of them, because we knew that there was uncertainty. And I'm actually considering taking several of my Airbnbs and converting them back into to just regular rentals. So those, you know, that we sell properties in this segment. That's our wheelhouse. We kind of stay out of the war zones because you can't sell them to homeowners down the fact, but we definitely don't do the high-end stuff. And so this is where we've always sat. That's why the clients, I've been getting calls from clients saying, Aaron, the properties that I bought, you know, I see the volatility in the market. I'm not even thinking about that right now because I have some properties with you. I have my qualified pension. And, you know, think about the people that we started working with and sold properties to before the last downturn, 9, 10, 11, and 12. They've seen property prices double, plus their cash flow has benefited from that. And so we've seen a bounce back over the past few weeks in the stock market, which is great. I mean, I bought some stocks again this week. Starbucks I picked up. I bought Delta Airlines because it's really low right now. And I think that long term, those are going to be value investments. And that's what we're doing with real estate. So if you've made profits and or if you're just freaked out by the volatility, that's where we help and work with a lot of Anderson clients, because we sell actual deals to clients. We've done that with Anderson clients for a long time.
I had a client say, thank God I got my retirement out of the market and into something concrete with Aaron, tangible. I didn't share that with you. I'll share with who that was off the record. But yeah, someone just mentioned that thank God they got out of the market, got into Aaron's, got some stability with their rents. And they quoted you a few different times there.
I had one of your clients that we met last September. They came out to Indianapolis to see our operation in October. They had $1 million in the market and had made most of that from gains over the last, they made like half of that, 500,000 of it over the last 15 years just from growth. And they came to the event. They only wanted to buy a couple hundred thousand in properties from us, which great. So they put 200,000 in their QRP. They left the rest with Fidelity and bought properties. Well, when they heard about coronavirus in January, he said it freaked them out. And the second a case was reported here, he was down like maybe 2% on the 750,000. He sold everything, got out of the market. And then he drove up to Idaho 3 weeks ago to say, how do we spend the rest?
Really?
You got me out of the market. Yeah.
And so, that's not a pleasant drive. That's no.
So he's only down like $8,000, but now he's got, you know, of his million, who cares, right? He's good. So yeah, definitely something to think about.
Absolutely. All right. I've got some questions that I've compiled over the last few weeks, knowing that I was going to do a webinar with you or speak to you for our clients. Let me ask you some questions. Where should investors be looking right now?
There's deals on the market right now. In terms of, if you're a homeowner looking for a great deal on a home, there's a lot of motivated sellers. There's a lot of nervous sellers. If you're looking for one rental property in your hometown, there's deals that are on the market because there's some nervous sellers. I definitely will think that'll increase. I mean, look, with this coronavirus, nobody knows what's going to happen with unemployment, but we got 20 million people right now that are unemployed and sitting at home thinking about their money. So there's low-hanging fruit on the market. One example that Clint, one of the partners in Anderson and I were talking about yesterday is, a lot of people don't realize it, but Zillow started buying homes over the last 24 months.
Yep.
They started buying homes and just turning around and trying to sell them to break even. They would do light rehab. And people said, why is Zillow doing that? And they said, well, you know, for marketing. But Zillow decided right now, within the past 2 months, they're out of that game. And so now Zillow's a motivated seller. There's going to be some interesting opportunities. And, you know, Warren Buffett says it best, buy fear and sell greed. And so when you switch your mindset to a buyer, there's low-hanging fruit that'll just be sitting there on the market. And that never happens in an upturn.
What about, I like a blended portfolio. I've got quick turns going on. I've got hard money lending I've got rentals. Between all three of them, I mean, you know, what do you see? Like, is there a game plan you have? Give us some insight between multifamily, rentals, quick turns. What are you looking at? What are you cautious about?
So I definitely hate what all the flipping shows do right now, which is flipping to higher end. Yes, there's still some deals getting sold. I mean, on the deal that I mentioned earlier that I sold for 287, I bought that for only 30,000 and spent 150 on it. So I'm only into it 180. So selling it for 287 isn't bad, even though I was hoping back in December I'd sell it for 330, 340, right? But imagine if I had a hard money loan on that. Imagine if I didn't have such a high spread. And so if you investors that are thinking, I want to get into flipping, the opportunity in a downturn won't be in the upper middle class. It's the same opportunity that we just discussed. The opportunity will be flipping blue collar homes. It'll be flipping just middle class homes, not the trendy, you know, custom everything kind of deal. So it's, you know,
this hits a little home because my wife and I had the same conversation. You know, we like to watch those flipping shows. They're kind of fun. And she likes the higher end and making, I look at it like putting lipstick on a pig. She looks at like, hey, let's redo it. Like, I want to live there. And there's a mental shift that you have to go through saying, hey, you may like that, but that's not good business.
Yeah. I actually, up here in Idaho, Michael, I bought a 1994 double wide in a trailer park for $10,000. I rehabbed it for $15,000. I just sold it to a farm employee for cash for $40,000. 15 on my 25, that's sexy to me. Now, you wouldn't live there, I wouldn't live there, but that's the kind of flips that are going to be the opportunities going forward. You know, same with apartments, blue collar. You don't want to be up here. If you look at rental ranges by market, the bougie stuff, the higher end stuff, the 1,000 and over, that's overbuilt. These are the ones that are going to get unemployed and have to move back down to these. Yeah. So if I'm an investor, I want to own these so that I can catch them as they fall into my bucket. So that's why I've always sat in that segment. It's not the deals aren't sexy. I mean, we have an Alpine Capital Solutions page. We just redid it. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I have not. No.
You're going to like this. I got cute pictures of everyone and put it up there. So this is Megan. Many of you know her. She's our portfolio strategist. If you're interested in deals, I'll put you in touch with her. She's my wife. Here's my partners that run Indy. Here's Becca. She works with Megan. There's Ellen. Here's my Charlotte partners. Here's my Kansas City team. Here's my Idaho team. I got everyone on there. Look how much prettier Jed's wife is than Jed.
I love Jed. Man, he takes care of my clients well. Yeah, I love Jed. Ah, yes. It's like a family reunion, our family picture for me here.
You like that?
I do. So,
if somebody goes to the Alpine Markets, and this is alpinecapitalsolutions.com, where you can type in Alpine CS, we have examples of the deals. These are not mansions. These are actual deals that we have and that we've sold to our clients. But these are perfect little blue collar houses. These are the houses we've sold that our investors have made 15 to 20% on over the last 20 years, and these are the houses that we'll continue to sell. So those are the opportunities, whether it's apartments, single family homes, flips.
Hey, go back there really quick. I think, you know, taking a look at some of the portfolio that you're showing, you know, this is the stuff we want to get into right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. I've had more clients call and want to schedule an appointment to get more deals right now. Now, I did have somebody say to me, well, why don't I just wait until October if the markets are going to crash? I'm like, you're going to get a busy signal because I'll have Wall Street saying, give me 600. Why am I going to call you a new customer to sell you one or two deals when I got an order from a Wall Street fund? I got my Chinese, my Japanese investors, they're upping their demand. And then I have all my existing investors. So if a new client calls me that we never worked with before in October compared to an existing Anderson client who wants another deal, I'm always going to take the existing client too. So if this is something that you're interested in as an investor, if you're thinking about diversifying, we'd love to talk to you right now. We had a client this week. They said, I'm interested in that Charlotte property, but I'd love to be able to go see it. I said, fine. So, property management is an essential business. I literally sent my property manager to the house, video with his phone, did a walking video tour of the house. They said, you know, can you send us an itemized budget of the work? We sent them an itemized item, you know, 80 items that we fixed on the home, which they could see in the video. They said, show me the comps. We sent them the comps. We sent them everything that they needed that they reviewed right from their computer, and the deal's under contract and they're moving forward on the deal. So this may be an opportunity when things get crazy because everyone gets back to work in a few weeks. This may be the time that you have to think about reallocating your retirement and getting this set up. So we can set them up. I have Megan's email on here, or you can just text her to schedule a consult. She'll just give you a call and just get a feel for what you're looking for, where you're at. We're busy. We've been selling deals every day.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned something that's pretty important. It's time to get your financial house in order too, your books and records. If you, you know, are going to get funding, make sure that you have a presentable package, basically. So very important to get it done now, get ready right now as opposed to being behind the eight ball, because there's going to be a lot of competition out there. You know, one of the questions I got that I wrote down, how much leverage should people be looking at? People maybe they've got some cash and they want to leverage it out, get loans and arbitrage and build up on what they have. Do people need to be worried about that, not worried about that? Give us your input on that, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough because if you think about it, I've bought probably 8,000 properties at foreclosure auctions, and most of the deals that I buy that were owned by another investor were very well-intentioned. I should get leverage on this property because that, you know, leverage is the way to go. But these scenarios encapsulate why leverage, you know, nobody has coronavirus on their spreadsheet for leverage.
No.
No one has that as a line item of how they're going to pay the Airbnb, pay the vacation home, pay the second home. And so, you know, leverage is a tool, but ironically, I made millions of dollars during the last downturn because people overuse that tool, and we anticipate doing that again. And so my advice to investors is use leverage on your active income, use leverage on your flips, but your rentals you want to hold free and clear. And I would say probably 90% of my clients that use retirement money, IRA money, 401k money, QRP money to buy properties from me, do that unleveraged. And man, think of the thank you, Aaron, emails I've been getting over the past 3 months because they're not worried if their tenant can't pay April, right?
Correct.
Because they don't have to pay a mortgage on it.
Correct. You kind of cover this a little bit. What price point for the properties you're going to be looking at? I know you had the screen up right now, but what price point? I know it's there's calculations that will kind of get it out there. But what are you guys looking at for price point to invest in?
Our Charlotte deals sell for 100 to 130. They're rented for 900, 1200, 1300 a month. Our Indianapolis deals are about 100,000 rented for 800, 900 thousand bucks a month. Our Kansas City deals about 110,000. So basically, between about 90 and 125,000 is the price point for these deals. Occasionally, we'll get deals as cheap as 75,000. So we usually say that an investor, we can really help you if you have 75,000 that you're looking to diversify into real estate. Now, you know, one area we've actually still had a lot, even the last few weeks, is 1031 exchanges.
Okay.
So right now, I have 150 deals in our pipeline that we can use to put together into a portfolio. Megan and Becca, who you know, who handle all of the acquisitions for our clients, are always working on a 1031 portfolio. And so we had a client just recently sell one commercial building that was a couple of million dollars in California. And then we flipped that into like 30 deals spread out all across the country, Idaho, Kansas City, Indy, Charlotte. So now they're really diversified. They've tripled their income. So 1031 is another area where we do a lot of.
Okay, so let's say, and I know a lot of people who are listening and watching this are already landlords themselves right now. One of the questions I've been getting, and I address it from a certain way, I want your opinion on it, but what do you do with a tenant? Are you working with tenants, or you know, landlords should be working proactively? Give me some strategies, give me some ideas, or give our listeners and watchers some ideas in what you guys do or what some of your clients are doing.
So we've been very proactive educating our tenants. We have mass texting set up for all of our markets. So we've been sending texts saying, look, we want to explain to you what forbearance is. Just because we can't evict you right now doesn't mean that we won't be able to evict you in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is.
And that's what a lot of people are missing. A lot of people are thinking it's just a rent holiday.
Yeah. And so we said, look, if you got laid off, you get unemployment plus up to $600 a week extra. You can pay your rent. You know, when your rent's only $700 a month with us, if you got your stimulus check, use that to pay your rent. We're happily waiving late fees for our tenants. In Indianapolis, our late fee is $100. That's a big late fee. We're waiving that. So it's interesting because right now, today, April 17th, I'm at 94% collected in Charlotte. I'm 98% collected in Kansas City. I only had one tenant not pay of my 80 tenants in Idaho. And of the 1,500 tenants we have in Indianapolis, we're at 88% right now. So I'm very happy with that because I've heard horror stories of higher end apartment complexes losing. They've only collected 50, 60% of their rents right now.
Well, I think it's also the screening, the locations you've chosen. I think there's some, I don't think that's dumb luck or by chance at any means.
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing this a long time. You know, you figure our oldest and biggest operation in Indianapolis, I started January 2005. So we've been 15 years just in that market. And there's a lot that we've learned managing the 1,500 homes we're at right now. And so one thing we know is that You want to be very proactive. You reach out to them. Don't wait for them to come tell you that they got laid off.
Be proactive. That's how I had written that written down. Absolutely, be proactive. Talk to them. You know, they're already in a tough position. Work with them. See, don't let them what I call ghosting on you. Once they get in a worse position, then they don't want to talk to you, and then it makes your life a lot harder.
Yeah, we had a tenant in Indianapolis come in this week with their tax refund plus their stimulus check and unemployment, and they got caught up. It was one of my tenants. I've known them. They've been in my house for over 11 years. It's a good person, but every year it's like they never pay me November, December. Then by January, they come in with, they brought me a check for $5,000 this week, you know? So that's somebody I personally will make an exception. I wouldn't advise that, but, you know, since I've known that person for so long, I'm cool with it. But again, because of the communication, I'm willing to make that kind of allowance knowing that they've saved it for years with their refund check.
Great minds think alike. Anything else? Any other guidance? You know, I really appreciate your time as always. Any other guidance? Anything that our clients should be doing, that the people who are watching this should be doing?
Another way to interface with us is, you know, let's say you're just kind of casually interested in this topic. If you're on Facebook, I have a page at Alpine Capital Solutions. You know, I'm a nerd. I spend 2 to 3 hours a day just doing pure research. And so,
which I think everyone should do. Knowledge is power, especially during.
Absolutely. Right. You do the equivalent with on the legal side. I just call you and say, what does this mean? So it's a two-way street. That's why I love working with you guys. But, you can see here almost daily, I've been uploading articles that are pertinent to everything that's happened, and they're a function of the research that I've been doing. And so, if you're on Facebook, you'd like to see some of the, you know, what I thought was the most interesting from my 3 hours today, go to Alpine Capital Solutions, like it. There's no pictures of the kids or the dogs on there, but that's another way that people could interface with us. And if you're interested in looking at deals and talking to us, we will be, as many as you know, we do a free training in Indianapolis 9 times a year. Obviously, April was supposed to be this weekend. April's out. We're thinking about May, because they canceled the Indy 500, which has always been Memorial Day weekend, and moved it to August. And so we're thinking about Friday, Saturday, Sunday of Memorial Day weekend as a tentative date if things can get back to business. If not, June, July, August, September, we'll have events. So on our Alpine Capital Solutions page, people can just go to live trainings. It's a 3-day training. It's free. If you're in the Anderson family, there's no cost for the event. We pay for your hotel room. We cover the meals. You just need to get to Indianapolis. So April is supposed to be this weekend. It's scratched. We actually do have a June date. Let me bring that up for those if someone's interested. I believe it's the first weekend in June. So.
And there's also, I saw you also have a lot of online resources too and videos and things.
Yeah. So reach out to us. Let us know. You know, we don't tell you how to work with us. We let you tell us what your interest is. So if it's just more education, happy to provide that. If you're interested in deals, we can send those over. If you'd like to attend one of our live events, love to have that too.
Aaron, I appreciate you as a friend and also as a colleague. And I appreciate your insight and knowledge. I hope everyone got a lot out of this. I look forward to work with all you guys and wish you guys the best of success in your lives and in investing.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.